Today's Bible reading is found on page 247 of the Bible you received on the way in. It's Judges chapter 13, starting from verse 1 through to chapter 15, verse 20. We'll be reading this in two parts. Brad's going to do the Samson part, and I'll do the rest. So that's Judges chapter 13, starting from verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine, or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor shall be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin to the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God, from birth until the day of his death.'" Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again and teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat of any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was an angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that we may honour you when your word comes true?" He replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." Then Manoah took a young goat, together with the grain offering, and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. Then the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor show us any of these things, or now told us this." The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him while he was in Mahone Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and his mother,
"I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife."
His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among the relatives or among all of our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father,
"Get her for me. She's the right one for me."
His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart in his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Some time later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands, and he ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave some to them, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions.
Let me tell you a riddle,
Samson said to them.
If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes.
Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied,
out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet.
For 3 days they could not give the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, you hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer.
I haven't explained it to my father or mother,
he replied.
So why should I explain it to you?
She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She in turn explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them,
if you had not ploughed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of the men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to a friend who had attended him at his wedding. Later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said to them,
I'm going to my wife's room.
But her father would not let him go in. I was so sure that you thoroughly hated her, he said, that I gave her to your friend. Isn't her youngest sister more attractive? Take her instead. Samson said to them,
this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them.
So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. Then he fastened a torch between every pair of tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and standing grain, together with the vineyards and the olive trees. When the Philistines asked, who did this? They were told, Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his friend. So the Philistines went up and burnt her and her father to death. Samson said to them,
since you've acted like this, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you.
He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in the cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The men of Judah asked, why have you come out to fight us? We have come to take Samson prisoner, they answered, to do to him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? He answered them,
I merely did to them what they did to me.
They said to him, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines, Samson said.
Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves.
Agreed, they answered. We'll only tie you up and hand you over to them. We'll not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came towards him, shouting, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 3,000 men. Then Samson said,
with a donkey's jawbone I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men.
When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath-Lehi. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord,
"You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?"
Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. Then Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En-Hakkok, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines.
If you keep your Bibles open there, that'd be great. We're going to cover those three chapters now during the talk. Thanks, guys, for reading them for me. That was great. Just get myself organised. Okay, how about I pray and we'll make a start. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you're a loving and gracious God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its ability to enable us to live out your calling. Lord, we pray that you give us soft hearts, that we'd be changed and become more like your Son, Jesus. Amen. In this day and age, we hear a lot about being true to yourself, living out your calling, who you are. It's really important that we use our skills and abilities, our gifts, to live out who we are, to live out our calling. I have some friends, they're married and they're having some problems, so the wife decides she'd go and get some counselling. And the advice she got from the counsellor was to figure out who she was as a person, who she was, what was her calling, what did she want out of life, and to use her skills, gifts and abilities to live that out. That way she would feel fulfilled and loved and safe. Israel had a calling. Israel was called by God. They were called to be his people. They were called to shine to the nations around. They were given a promised land. They were giving blessing. And the goal was that they would be God's people and that the other nations would know how great God is and come and worship him as the one true God. Unfortunately, Israel falls short of this calling. They don't live it out. And then they get stuck in this cycle that we've seen in Judges. They turn their back on God, and God allows one of the neighbouring nations to come in and rule over them. To rule over them. And then Israel realises that they've turned their back on God. And God sends a judge. He remembers them, sends someone to save them. The judge comes in and drives out the nation that's oppressing them. Drives them out, and then there is peace. The judge leads them back to God, and they have peace. After that, the judge dies, and then they turn their back on the Lord again. And that's where we pick up the story that we had read to us today. Israel has turned their back. They've done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And God has handed them over to the Philistines for the last 40 years. But God has sent an angel. He's going to call a judge. No ordinary judge. He's going to call one from birth. So the angel announces it to a woman that she's going to give birth to a saviour, to the one that's going to save Israel from the Philistines. We have high hopes for this judge. It's the first time God has called one from birth to fulfill this task. He's called to be a Nazarite. Nazarite from birth. You can look it up later, but the reference to a Nazarite is found in Numbers chapter 6. And a Nazarite is basically an Israelite who wants to be an Israelite. It's someone who wants to live their life dedicated to the Lord. So someone who's a Nazarite takes a vow to live for a period of time dedicated to serving the Lord. There's a couple of conditions if you want to enter this vow that they had to undertake. One of it was that you weren't to cut your hair for the duration of the vow. You weren't to eat, you weren't to drink alcohol. In fact, you weren't supposed to drink or eat anything that came from a grapevine. And you weren't supposed to become ceremonially unclean. There's a whole bunch of other laws that relate to becoming ceremonially unclean. But the one mentioned in Numbers 6 is you're not supposed to touch dead bodies. We have high hopes, and so did for Samson, and so did his parents. They took the task very seriously when the angel of the Lord announced that they'd have a baby and the calling that he was given. Overwhelmed with the task, they called the angel back. These were devout Israelites. They took the task very seriously. They asked the angel to come back and explain how would they raise such a child to live out such a calling. And the angel comes back and explains to them. And we know that they taught him. We know they explained his calling to him because they didn't cut Samson's hair. And we know by the way they relate to him later on in the passage that they explain Samson's calling to him. At the end of chapter 13, we have quite high hopes for Samson, but it doesn't take long in chapter 13 before they're dashed. Samson goes down to a town called Timnah and sees a Philistine girl there, and he likes her. Instead of driving out the Philistines, he wants to join them. He wants to marry one. His parents remind him of his calling. They try and put him back on the right track, but Samson won't have it. He has a feeling. He knows that she's the one. So Samson decides to follow who he is. He decides to follow who he wants to be. So his parents and him head down to Timnah to meet the girl, and on the way, Samson bumps into a lion, and he just rips it apart effortlessly. The Spirit of the Lord comes on him in power, and he just pulls the lion apart with his bare hands. This gift from God has obvious ramifications, has obvious use for his calling, would make him a great warrior. But he keeps on his way to meet his girl. He likes her after talking to her, and they make some wedding plans. Later on, he goes back down to Timnah. On the way, he stops to look at the lion, the thing that he'd done with his own hands. And he takes some honey. And he eats it. He takes some honey out of the carcass and eats it. Yeah, it's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, wrong. Okay, good, clear. It's not only just wrong because it's out of a carcass of a lion. It was clearly wrong for him as well. He wasn't supposed to touch anything unclean. In fact, what he should have done is went to the place where you got purified and went through that process to keep on with his vow. But he doesn't. He chooses to live out his own calling. That's why he doesn't tell his parents on either time what he's done. He doesn't want this to be confronted with his calling. He doesn't want to be badgered. He doesn't want to be reminded. He doesn't tell them because he wants to live life his own way. He goes down and prepares a feast. He's given 30 groomsmen, as it was the custom at the time. Inflated by his own sense of ego, he throws out a riddle. In fact, he throws out a bet. It goes terribly wrong. He loses the bet. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes on him in power again. And he wanders down to a nearby town and kills 30 Philistines. Strips them of their clothes and pays his debt. So incensed and outraged from the betrayal of his wife and the way he was treated, that people would get in the road of his calling, how he wanted to live his life, he storms off home, angered. A little while later, he grabs a peace offering and heads back down to Timnah, only to find that his wife was given away to his best man. Now, arranged marriages are a little strange to us. We don't do them here in Australia. But what I want you to see about this part is the father-in-law. The father-in-law knows Samson well. He knows that Samson's driven by his eyes. He's driven by his lust. That's why he offers the younger daughter. She's prettier anyway. See, Samson never actually met the Philistine girl the first time. Back at the beginning of the story, he only saw her when he was so sure that she was the one for him. He was following his eyes, his lust. So he offers the younger daughter. But now Samson's not following that desire anymore. He's now following rage and anger because someone had got in his road of how he wanted to live out his life. It's in sense that someone would block what he wanted to do. So now he seeks revenge and starts a tit-for-tat. Starts a tit-for-tat with them. We all have played this game. We all know this. It's the way of the world. It starts with a towel on the floor, some socks in the wrong spot, some garbage bins that didn't get taken out, start with not getting an invitation to the movies. Anything will start this off. And you know when you've been playing this game. You know at the end. There's a telltale sign because the person's standing right in front of you. Or you will say to them, or they will say to you, someone will utter a phrase. It's a telltale sign. It is, but you always. But you always. It's a telltale sign that you've been playing tit for tat. You've been keeping a record. You know what they've been doing wrong. And so Samson kicks off this tit for tat right here. So he goes and grabs some foxes, ties a torch to their tails, and burns all their crops, burns all their grains, burns their vineyards, vineyards, burns their olive groves. Philistines aren't happy about this. They join the party. They grab his wife and his father's household, and they burn them. Samson's so incensed once again that they would do such a horrible thing, he starts seeking revenge. He gets malicious. He starts slaying them and attacking them brutally. He feels avenged at some point and heads up to the rock at Edom. The Philistines, of course, their turn now. They amass an army and head up into Judah to find him. Some of the people of Judah notice the army and come and talk to them to find out what the problem is because they don't want to fight if they can help it. Realizing that the problem is Samson, that's all they've come for, they amass an army of 3,000 men and head up to talk to Samson. At this point, you've actually got to give it to Samson. At least he's honest. Confronted with the 3,000 men and asked, don't you know they rule over us? What have you done? He doesn't try and say, I was trying to save you from them. Nope. He simply says, I repaid them back for what they did to me. It's all about me. Of course, the Judah army doesn't like that as a response, so they decide to solve the problem. They grab Samson and they hand him over to the Philistines. Once again, the Spirit of the Lord comes on Samson with power, grabs the jawbone of a donkey, and he kills 1,000 men. He wipes out the Philistine army. Completely, effortlessly wipes out 1,000 men. The question is at this point, what are the 3,000 strong Judah army doing while Samson's wiping out the Philistines? What are they doing? And the answer is they're doing exactly the same thing that Samson is. They're living out their calling. They're living life the way they want. They don't want to fight with the Philistines. They just want to get along. See, Timnah is actually a third of the way up into their part of the promised land. A third of the way up into the land that was theirs. They should have been driving them out. But no, they're happy with the arrangement. They're happy just to blend in with the world around them. Happy to marry into the Philistines. They're happy with life the way it is, comfortable and cozy. It's amazing, the end of this story, that Samson actually achieves something other than fulfilling his own calling for himself. He actually achieves the calling God gives him, not because he pursued it, but because God himself is faithful. So it's not wrong to live out your calling. It's not wrong to be true to yourself. God is true to himself. Because he is, Samson fulfilled his calling. The problem still remains, though. Samson eventually dies, and Israel falls back into the cycle. And round and round and round it goes. We need someone to break the cycle. We need someone to live out this calling to save the people of Israel and to save us as well. God sends another angel years later to another woman and promises that this would happen. He promises to Mary that Jesus would be the Saviour, that he would break this cycle. And we see in the Gospels that he does. Jesus lives out his calling. Jesus uses the skills, gifts, and abilities to serve God, to serve the purposes that God gave him. Instead of going to a wedding banquet and trying to embarrass the guests, he goes to a wedding banquet and he turns water into wine to save them embarrassment. Jesus uses God's gifts to serve Israel. He saves them from lots of things, like in the kids' talk. Saves them from being blind. Saves them from being crippled. Saves even one man from death. Jesus used his skills, gifts, and abilities to serve out God's purpose. The greatest thing that Jesus saved the Israelites from and us from is their sin. He saved them from their rejection of God and the penalty of death that comes from doing that. Jesus and Samson actually have something quite in common. They both died rejected and abandoned by their people. But Jesus didn't die rejected and abandoned because he was out using his gifts, being a nuisance and serving himself. Jesus died because he laid a claim on people. He claimed to be their king. He claimed to know their calling, and he claimed that they should live it out. It wasn't popular then, and it's not popular now, and it got Jesus killed. But even in this, God is faithful. God is true to himself. And even in this act, God saves us from our sin. We die with Jesus. He takes the penalty for us. And God raises him to life because death could not hold Jesus. He had done nothing wrong. If we trust in Jesus, then we too will rise with him. We rise now. Starts now. If we trust in Jesus, we die. Jesus takes our penalty. And we are given the new life now. We have a choice. We can either live out our own calling, or we can have faith in Jesus, and we can live out our new calling to serve him. We can continue down the well-trodden path of serving ourselves and using our skills and abilities to meet our own calling. We can take on our new calling and serve God. It's not wrong to have fun and do good things. It's wrong to use it just to serve yourself. See, it's not wrong to get married. It's not wrong to have friends and family and do fun stuff. It's wrong if you use them to exclude people and to use people. I want to encourage us to live out our new calling. I want to encourage us to take hold of who we are in Christ. We can keep wandering down the well-trodden path, like Samson, and serve ourselves. We'd like to think that we're different, but I don't think we are. See, Samson's really amped up. He's larger than life. It's really obvious what he does wrong. But I think we make all the same mistakes. We just like to cover over them better. We're just more nuanced. We're not as obvious, at least to ourselves and people around us. Samson's story was written down as a warning to us. It's written from God's eye. Samson didn't get any moderating, but I didn't mean it like that, kind of moments in there. How would you shape up if God wrote your biography for a week or a month? The reason why you did things, who you're actually serving. The choice is clear. We need to live out our new calling in Jesus Christ. What I want to make really clear to us as well is the motivation for this new life, this calling. If you remember back at the beginning of the story, the angel came back and visited Samson's parents. Now, Samson had a whole bunch of rules that he broke. It's really obvious that he failed at his calling. It's really obvious he didn't live up to it. But they were never meant to be the reason. They were never meant to be his motivation. If you try and live out your new calling by law, by rules, and by regulations, you will fail. You will be miserable. You will be bent out of shape. Jesus harshly critiqued the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day for doing just that. Now, if you want to live out this new calling, you need the motivation the angel gave. See, when the angel came back, he didn't give any more rules, no more laws that they were to follow. What he gave to them, what the angel gave, what God gave to them as motivation, was his glory. He revealed himself. When he ascended in the flame, with the name that he would not give, he revealed who he was. He revealed his glory to them. That was supposed to be what the parents motivated Samson to live out his calling with. The glory of God was to be his motivation. That's to be our motivation. We know God's glory more fully ever than ever before now. We know it fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We know the richness of his love for us. That is what you need to motivate this new life, this calling, this how you live it out. I pray in the weeks, hours, and time ahead that you would dwell richly on God's glory in Christ Jesus and aim to live it out in your life. Let's pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you're a great and glorious God. You cast stars into the universe, but yet you're so mindful of us as well. Lord, help us to own the fact that we turn away and often follow our own calling. Help us to repent and come to you. Help us to know that thanks to Jesus, there is no condemnation for us in Christ. We're free to take hold of our new life. We can stride out with great confidence. Help us to live it out in this world, Lord, not to coast around in comfortably serving ourselves, but help us to bring glory and honour to you, for you are a glorious God. In Jesus' name, amen.